16.
Well, how old are you now?
I'm 73.
Oh, you're 73.
Yeah, and that was...
That would be about 1905 then, probably.
Well, because I remember the 1903 flood, and it was sometime after that. I would say maybe I was 10, 11 years old, maybe.
I see, so it was somewhere before 1910.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you drove mules for several seasons?
I drove mules for a couple of seasons for a man by the name of George Marengo. He owned his own boat.
Oh.
They had company boats, too.
Yeah.
This man owned his own boat, his own team.
Were those mules?
And the mules. He and his son used to go out in the wintertime. They were neighbors of ours. In the wintertime, why, he and the son didn't get along, and next time, son drove boats again, why, I went for the father to drive mules.
What was his boat, a hinge boat?
Yes, it was a hinge boat.
Mm-hmm.
So the next season come along, why, the old father, he turned the business over to the son, and I went for the son then. I guess two or three years I was driving mules. And then I got these tugboats on the canal.
About that time?
About that time. And I was one of them. I was the captain of the tugboat, but it didn't mean anything. There was only two guys on the boat. One guy was took care of the engine, and I did all the steering and stuff like that. I had regular bells with them, you know, I can do on these tugboats.
How fast did they run?
Well, they didn't run too fast because they'd washed the canal off.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you could.
Quite twice as fast as the mules would
go. Oh, yes, much faster than that. Because that's one reason why they didn't prove too successful. Because if you get maybe five or six boats, why, you couldn't get. You could walk, but I mean, you'd have to walk like the dickens to keep up with them.
They would draw five or six boats at a time.
Yep.
What would they do? Put two side by side?
One right after the other.
All strung right
one on. Right after the other. But well, you see them when you got down here to at the Groundhog Lock. I don't know whether you got it,
I guess.
There were two boats that go in at one time. See?
Yeah.
Well, the tugboat and one boat would go in together. Then you'd have to get down, lay on the other side of the lock till the lock was filled up again and two more come through. That way, well, you lost too much time.
How long, supposing you you were coming down to Groundhog and it was empty, having let the boat out going south, mm-hmm. How long would it take you then to lock through?
You mean to fill the lock up again and lock more through?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't take too long, because that filled up pretty fast.
Would it be 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Yeah, I would say 5 minutes like that to fill up a lock, because...
You could fill it up and get your boat in and then empty it and out in
5 minutes? You see, they had
five minutes.
The gates on that one over here. Now, they had a head gate. This is the gate where you come out of the lock, see? Here they got... Down here, they got a bunch of wickets.
Yeah, I know.
And you open these wickets, that dumps the water out. This is the head gate up in here. But to my way of thinking, there used to be a little shanty over there that, see, this is where they raised that gate back and forth. Well, those boats went all the way in. I even went over across the Morris Canal with those things, down from New Hope across, down the Morris Canal, even down into Trenton.
Delaware and Raritan.
Yeah, the Raritan Canal.
Delaware and
Raritan. Here in Lumberville. Well, not too far up from here. There's a dam goes across the river.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes, that's the Lumberville Dam.
Lumberville Dam. Well, that's...
The feeder's just above that.
The feeder is what... That dam is for the feeder for the Raritan Canal.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what they called it, a feeder down in there, all the way into Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
And the Morris Canal, the Raritan Canal, ran from Bordentown to... New Brunswick, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Right through this part of the town.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like that today to water.
No, I guess that's pretty well filled.
Oh, it's all filled in.
Well, now, who owned these steamboats?
Canal Company.
The
Lehigh Navigation.
The Lehigh Navigation.
Mm-hmm.
They owned.
And they were built in Maryland. I used to know the place. And they were run by a producer of gas from Buckwheat Coal.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, if you ever use coal in a furnace, you ever throw coal on a fire, then you, pretty soon you'd open the door, you'd see that...
Blue flame.
Blue flame.
Yeah.
Well, that's what these engines run by.
Oh, is that so?
And in the morning, you'd get down there, if you tied up during the night, you'd get down there, you'd wind up with this thing by hand, you know, to get enough gas. You had a little pet cock there, you used to test it, if it would come out and it would hold, you had enough gas to start with. So you started the thing up then, and they had a big hopper up on the top, like a bell hopper. You'd fill the coal in there, then you'd clamp the lid down again, and you'd push the handle, that would drop the coal down on the fire to keep it smothered. The gas.
Uh-huh.
And then around the top, they had maybe four or five holes in there where you used to get down in there with a splash bar and stir it up.
And then this was like an internal combustion engine that used this gas?
It's something like a gasoline. It said it was practically the same thing as a gasoline engine.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And they were made someplace in Maryland. I just don't recall anymore where it was.
You say there were two of these boats?
Two of the boats.
How long were they on the canal? Have you any idea?
Well, I'd say maybe 3-4 years, uh-huh. Something like that, because as I say, he lost too much time taking it through the locks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I can tell you, this bridge that goes across the Lehigh here in Easton was either 1911 or 1912 when that was built. The tugboats was on the canal at that time.
Oh.
Because rosin. They used to boatloads of rosin, and we'd come into Philadelphia, loaded on canal boats in the harbor there in Philadelphia, brought up into Bristol on the river, and we picked them up with the tugboats in Bristol and brought them into New Hope. Now, they'd lay over till we get four or five of them, and that was always a Sunday job. Start out Sunday morning, bring these boats, four and five backloads of rosin, up to Easton.
They would operate the locks on Sunday for you then, would they?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Well, normally, they didn't operate on Sunday,
well,
did they?
I don't recall. That's a good question. I just don't remember whether they did or not.
That's what most canalers tell me.
We did, though. We came up here on a Sunday.
I suppose being steamboats.
That could be. But I know that they came up here, and they were building the bridge at 3rd Street that time. And they had a temporary bridge across at 2nd Street. And we had to go underneath that with them five or six boats tagging on behind. Now, that was quite a job steering them things through there. Get them so that if you got going too fast, these boats would get out of whack, you know, and you'd hit the darn thing and knock the bridge down. But
well, were you in the river then?
In the river.
How'd you get in the river?
From the canal. You know, this guard lock here in Easton.
Oh, was that, at that time, was the...
It was Easton Dam.
Was another lock there at the Easton Dam that took you over originally to the Morris Canal?
I don't know just exactly where you did go from the Delaware Canal to the Morris Canal.
Well, there was another lock that they called the Outlet Lock was just to the north of the guard lock.
Well, I don't remember.
And
in
those days... when that was in operation, the dam was about 100 yards nearer the Delaware River than it is today.
Oh, that could be.
Do you know when this present dam was built? Do you recall that?
No, I don't.
Well, it's been at this same location as long as you know about it.
Here in Easton?
Yeah, but I mean at the same location in the river.
Oh, yeah. As far as I remember, it's the same location.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when you were driving mules... Did you start from Mauchunk on the Lehigh Canal?
That's right. The boats was loaded up in what they call Catfish Pond. They came by train from... Originally, I think the canal ran all the way into Whitehaven?
Whitehaven, yeah.
Well, then later on, years they came down by train and dumped in great big chutes up there, Catfish Pond, and boats would go up in there and pull under these chutes and load up.
That was near Mauchunk?
It's,
at Mauchunk?
I'd say, they call it Mauchunk, probably a couple miles above.
Yeah. And then you'd start down.
Then you'd start down and below.
How much coal would the boat carry?
Well, they call them 100 ton, but 90 ton maybe, something like that, 90 ton.
Mm-hmm.
It all depended on how some places, maybe the canal was not too deep, they didn't dare to load them too heavy.
Yeah. Well, then, But did you go in the waylock there below Mauchunk?
Below Mauchunk, there was a waylock. Mm-hmm. There was a lock there where the empty boats used to go up, and then the right alongside of it was where they weighed the boats. That was, I guess, they went in on a big pair of scales or something, and when the water went out, where they'd be on a scale.
Well, that was quite a trip down the Lehigh Canal, wasn't it?
108 miles, they say it was, from Mauchunk into Bristol.
Mm-hmm. And about that many locks.
I don't know. Never did count the locks. Well, I mean, it never occurred to me them days, you know.
Well, now, part of the time you were in a canal, and part of the time you were in the river, weren't you?
That's right.
Well, was it harder work when the boat got in the river than as if it were?
No, I wouldn't say so, because on the Delaware Canal, you're in the canal all the while on the Delaware.
Right.
When you come up above Easton, you got, well, right there is the Easton Dam.
Yeah.
Well, then you get up above Island Park, there you got another dam. That's Island Park Dam.
Yeah.
Well, then you go up, there's dams all along up in there that, Allentown Dam.
Yeah.
And that's what I was telling you. One year they had a big flood, see, and it filled the channel up in Allentown Dam, and I spent one whole season up in Allentown taking boats up and back of Adams Island, up to the next lock. Take the empty ones up, and if there's any loaded ones up there, pick them up and bring them down to the lock down below till they got the thing dredged out.
Oh, I see. That's all you did. Is
that's all I did that
summer. You drove the mules.
No, this was on the tugboat.
Oh, you had a tugboat up there.
Yeah, that was when the tugboat was on it.
Oh, I see.
But I only drove mules, I guess, for a couple of seasons, two or three seasons I drove mules.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was on the tugboat in the summertime, well, then in the wintertime when they took the water out of the canal, I worked with the carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
And, I cooked and everything else, did whatever I could with the carpenters.
Now, when you passed the last dam and going down toward Easton, there was quite a stretch in the river there then, wasn't there? The boat ran in the river.
Yes, from...
Well, now, would that water be fairly swift sometimes?
Oh, no. From Chain Dam down to Easton, there that water was swift because the Metropolitan Edison, I don't know what Metropolitan Edison then or not, but I mean, they had a powerhouse down there. They got all their water through there. The same as they did the one below Easton, Robbinsville, over the powerhouse up the water.
Yeah.
And that was fairly swift.
Well, then, was it swifter than the mules would walk sometimes?
Oh, yeah, the mules didn't have to do no pulling at all. They just lazy along.
Did you find the mules needed much attention when they were when you were going along the towpath?
No, I wouldn't say too much, because a lot of times they'd just walk along, you know. I mean, lots of times you didn't even drive them. You get down to a bridge or someplace, you get up on the bridge and hang down and drop on the boat, you know, and let the mules go by themselves.
Well, now, supposing you were approaching a boat and the driver was on his own boat, would he have to jump off quickly to get up the mules?
Well,
they
could put the pole in and fall over.
They wouldn't know enough to stop in passing.
Well, they might. I don't know. They might. They get pretty used to them things, you know.
There was always one mule was ahead of the other. They weren't side by side, were they?
Well, that was something brought over from the Morris Canal. They put them on a pulley. Because if they had one lazy, they have them one ahead of the other. One mule was lazy. The other guy had to do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put them on a pulley line, and one of them hung back, that just yanked on his jaw. He had to keep up with the other one.
Well, but they were always one behind the other. They weren't side by side.
No, not side by side.
Mm-hmm. Over on the old Erie Canal in New York State, they used to hitch them side by side, the same as a team of horses would be hooked to a wagon. But apparently here they've done it differently. Now, you come in, you're coming into a lock, and the lock is open. What happens with the mules and the driver?
Well, you're coming into a lock. Of course, you're not pulling the boat too fast when you're coming into the lock. They just slack them up there, and they take the line and take it out and put it down to the lower end. When the boat is in the lock and drop down the line and hooked up again, and away you go.
Well, the captain does the snubbing of the boat, does he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it comes in, you disconnect the tow line from the mules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And throw it on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always a bridge in the lock, isn't
there? Either that or you can take the leave the line on, see what I mean, and put it over. Like the lower gate there, what I mean, bring the line over here and put it down here when the water's out, way the line is clear anyhow.
Well, there's always a bridge at the lower end of the lock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you got to put your line under the bridge, right?
Well, you can put, because that bridge, seeing when these gates come together, there's a bridge right over top of these gates. Is what I mean, when they open up, they just open up the whole business.
But that below there, there's another bridge that goes from one side to the other of the canal, isn't it?
No. Not necessarily.
How did your lock tender get from one side to the other? When it's open? When the lock's open? When the gates are open?
Well, I don't think there's a bridge goes across because...
I know it. Well, now coming up, I can see, supposing the lock is open and you're coming up into the lock, where do you disconnect the line? Do you pull the boat all the way into the lock?
No, because you got to pull enough so it gives a start that come in the lock.
And then it'll come in by itself.
That's right.
That was a pretty close fit, too, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, there wasn't much room. Maybe, another couple inches, maybe, on each side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it, with your boat in the beginning, it was sort of rounded. It would maybe bump a little bit that way and steer itself in there.
Yeah. How long, in general, was the tow line?
Oh, you know, I really don't know. 100 feet, anyhow, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm. They were pretty well in front, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose they had to be because of the bends in the
right.
In the canal. And then what were they, about an inch in diameter?
The line?
Yeah, the line.
No, I would say they're about a 3/4 inch.
About 3/4.
They weren't. Well, maybe it's thick to see your thumb a little bit more. Of course, you get them wet while they do.
Yeah. Would they wear out rather rapidly? Or?
Well, no, not too bad. Your lines that you snubbed with is the ones that would wear out.
Oh, is that so?
Oh, yeah, because there's quite
working
a strain
on
that.
Working on the snub.
Mm-hmm.
You went all the way down to Bristol.
All the way into Bristol.
Would you go on to Philadelphia at times?
No, we had to have a license from when we were there, the license snub boat.
Well, I mean when you were on the canal driving mules.
Only as far as Bristol. There they used to take... There was a time, like I say, this man owned his own boat and his own mules. He could go into Bristol, wait for a tugboat there, and he could get down. But when you had a company boat, you'd go on the Bristol Basin down there and change your belongings from one boat over onto another and start right back again.
I see. Did you ever go through the tide locks down there? The tide locks at Bristol into the river?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I went through there.
Now, how did they differ from the other locks? Do you recall? Do you recall a double set of gates at each end?
I really don't know. It's been so long. Because, as I say, this guy that owned his own boat, he used to go right on through or hook up with a tugboat, and he'd go around. So the other company boats, they'd change their gear there in the basin and start back with an empty boat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, also, as I say, they'd start back with an empty boat, and all these loaded boats would be there in the basin in Bristol. They had men there that would take maybe the Philadelphia Electric Company wanted 4 or 5 boatloads of coal. They'd get them 4 or 5 boatloads and put a man on drone and go up, get tugboat and take them to Philadelphia Electric and unload them, tugboat, bring them back. And they also, any other customers down along the Schuylkill River or any place where they had a man there to glue them boats.
Mm-hmm.
I was down there one summer, taking boots around. A man by the name of Donnelly had charge of the lot there in Bristol. Terry Donnelly.
You were taking boats from what? Where?
From the Bristol Basin, out on the river. See, I could be on the canal boat, but I couldn't run the tugboat on it because they had to have a license there.
Yeah.
That was before, I guess, they had tugboats on the canal.
Mm-hmm. At the time you were on the canal, were there many boats on the canal?
Well, there was quite a few boats in the, down around Bridgeton.
Where?
Back down around Bridgeton. That right around a little guy down in there, you know.
Oh, near Frenchtown, which
yeah,
is on the other side.
Yeah, Newartown, Frenchtown, all them places. And back up on the hill there, from where everybody boated.
Or they had farms that they worked in the winter, or their families worked in the summer.
And they never bought coal.
That's what I understand.
They used to have places where they put the pump down, you know, if there was any water in there, they'd fill them things up with coal. Then when the boat was unloaded, they'd get what they call a lining plank down in there and just take them up, shovel the coal out, put them in a bag and haul them home.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the company recognized
oh,
that was
knew,
happening.
Oh, they knew it. I mean, as long as you didn't abuse it, well, I don't think they ever said anything.
Yeah. How long would it take to go from Marchunk to Bristol?
Well, I say, used to say 7 and 8 days to make a trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was a round trip.
Oh, a round trip?
I think it was a round trip. I might be wrong. Maybe it was more than that. Well, I said the thing was there 108 miles from Hot Chunk to Bristol.
It's 60 miles from Easton to Bristol. Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is, 60 from Easton?
Yeah, and 40, about 46 from Easton to Marchunk, so that would be 106, rough. So,
well, a little over 100. As I say, now this Catfish Pond was probably a couple miles above
Marchunk.
Mm-hmm. I've been up that way and I don't even recognize the place where they used to have the boat.
Oh, it changes.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of it, doesn't it?
I wonder they wouldn't do something with the Lehigh Canal.
Well, there are some plans for this section between Easton and Allentown to get it opened up for recreational purposes.
That isn't, it's not too bad after it hooks rock. I think there's a boat club there.
Yeah.
I believe it's a Bethlehem Boat Club.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I forgot the name of it. You were starting to tell me the names of the block tenders, now. The one at Easton on the guard lock?
That fellow's name, I think if I recall right, his name was Rismer.
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 Mm-hmm. Now, were there stables at that lock?
No, I don't know.
Any mule stables?
No, not that I ever recall there wasn't. And not even at the Groundhog Lock, there was no stables. Mm-hmm. And I don't think
Who was the lock tender's groundhog?
I don't recall anymore.
Do you recall the old paper mill down at Robson?
No, I don't. I knew it was a paper mill there, but I knew paper mill when I remember anything.
Well, I was told it was right there at Groundhog Lock.
Yeah, right before you get there, right along the highway.
Yeah.
That's where the walls, probably some of the walls are there yet, I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, that was there until 1930.
Was it?
It burned down in 1930.
Well, it should have been, because what I mean is, you were on the canal, you'd have been
on
the other side.
Yeah, it'd be on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Should have been.
Well, then the next block was Durham Lock.
Durham Lock.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked one winter with a carpenter. And I worked there when they put that new aqueduct in.
Oh, but Durham Creek?
Over Durham Creek. And just now they got a
That's a chute, yeah, a steel chute.
That's I worked there one whole winter there.
Now that,
And that man's name was Burns, old Joe Burns.
Joe Burns at Durham.
At Durham. Mm-hmm. Now, we had a man, one of the carpenters there, he used to sit and take everything, and if there was Burns, he would sit there one night and he'd tell him how long he worked here and how long he worked there. And the guy said, "My God, Joe," he said, "you must be a pretty old man." "Oh, I don't know," he said. "Well," he says, "I've been figuring up pretty good all these years. You must be over 100 years old."
Well, then the next one to Durham was the Narrows.
Right. And you have an aqueduct down at the Gallic Run.
Right.
Then you go down to the Narrows, and a fellow by the name of Rapp run that lot.
Very double peak.
Very double peak. There was other guys there before, but I just don't recall who they were, but I do know who they were.
Well, now there was an old mill there at that lot, wasn't there?
At
the Narrows. Now, below the Narrows lock would be Lodi Lock, number 19, right?
I don't remember too much about Lodi Lock. For some reason, I remember the name and all like that, but I just don't.
Well, that's the lock tender's house is still there, and that's the office of the resident engineer on the canal now.
That's right.
At Lodi. Well, then the next one is Eulertown.
Yes. And, I believe it's Sigapoose.
Sigapoose?
I think there's Sigapoose kind of that lot. That is a single lot.
Yeah, that's single lot.
A single lot.
Now, the narrow lot was a double lot, wasn't it?
No. Was it?
Mm-hmm. That was a funny thing.
Yeah, just maybe right.
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
Was that boatyard at
Eulertown? Yes.
Just below the lock?
Below the lock on the right-hand side of the canal.
Mm-hmm. And was the hotel running at that time as a hotel? There just across the covered bridge? Do you recall that?
No, I don't recall the hotel. I was probably too young to remember what a hotel was like. But I do remember the boatyard, because I was born in Arwana.
Oh, were you?
I was born in Arwana. And
well, there was a boatyard there, too, wasn't there?
That's where my father started out, the boatyard in Arwana.
Uh-huh.
He worked there.
Whose boatyard was that, yeah?
I really don't know. He owned the boatyard.
Euler owned the yard up at Eulertown,
didn't he? Yeah, I know. But I don't remember. I don't remember whether they built boats there in Arwana or whether they just repaired boats. I just don't recall anymore, but I used to have a place that they called a ship that run these boats in, and then they'd pack them up on a, pulley, you know, and get at them at the bottom. And then later years, they built a building up above the canal. And I think that building is still there yet. That was right along the creek.
At Arwana.
Arwana, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that, there's no road at all or nothing back in there anymore, because I tried to get back there one time, but you know, the road's been discontinued long ago.
They tell me that just, you know, the bridge that goes over to Frenchtown.
Yes.
At this end of the bridge, in that farm area there, a circus used to winter. Do you recall?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it was, but
they
said there was a circus that used to...
Yeah, I don't call that.
Now,
there is a covered bridge right there by the Eulertown Lock.
Oh, yeah.
That's still good. Still
oh,
there
yeah.
Yet.
It's a good case.
There's one there in Arwana, too. Covered bridge. Not along the canal, but I mean, it goes across the creek.
Yeah, back from the canal.